What's up, people? I'm Jake Mintz. This is going to be a very normal podcast episode.
Certainly, we expected to be recording about very normal baseball news on this Thursday. No, that is not the case. We are sneaking in this extra episode of Baseball Barbercast to talk about the scandal involving Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, and a whole messy gambling-related scandal, which we are going to talk all about and do it as responsibly as we can. But that's it. That's what we're talking about on this episode of Baseball Barbercast.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbercast, the only baseball podcast in the world that will float $4.5 million to a buddy with no questions asked. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. I got you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess some of this podcast will be about friendship and about, you know, what does it mean to be someone's best friend? That is going to be, I guess, a theme of today's unexpected podcast on this Thursday, Jake. We are going to be reacting not too much to the 15-11 slop fest that was the second game in Seoul, but to the absolutely massive news regarding Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. I am going to limit the number of jokes I make on this podcast because I think this is a serious issue. However, I will lead with one. Jake, this is really just about the only kind of news that could come out that would make me overjoyed and excited to talk about the AL Central tomorrow. I didn't think it was possible, but this is, we found it. This is it. What does it take to get excited about the worst division we've ever seen? News that could be, in some ways, the downfall of someone who we thought to be largely a perfect baseball human and player.
So I am saddened and bummed by this story. However, I find it to be more fascinating, I think, than you do.
No,
maybe
it's
a little bit. I'm not like amped that this happened, but I do think that there are just so many levels to it, and we're going to do our best to get into it on this episode. Now, just to be clear, it is 10:30 a.m. Central Time where I am. 9:30 Mountain Time, the official time of Baseball Barbercast, because I love going into the mountains. Things are going to develop in the story. Like, a lot will change. More info will come out. But we're going to do our best to kind of educate you, the listener, lay things out. And then at the end, after we take a break, chat a little bit about how we feel about the whole story and what the, you know, best, in quotes, and worst, in quotes, case scenarios are here.
Yeah, because, you know, this is all still so fresh, still so developing. This dropped when I was on a plane home from New York and, you know, opening my phone, turning off airplane mode to 50 text messages about something that is so, so hard to wrap your mind around at so many levels, right? Like, when I first saw the headlines, when you first told me when we talked about on the phone, when I landed, to the headlines that I was seeing in the various tweets, to then when I finally got home and actually read every word of the ESPN report, my perception of this whole situation has just fluctuated like crazy. And that's what makes this really challenging. But as you said, we are going to do our best to at least lay out what we feel like we know based on the reporting. And then while speculation is sometimes irresponsible. I think in this case, we can at least start to think about what happens next.
Before we hop in, I just want to say something about gambling and about addiction. Gambling addiction is an addiction like and unlike any other addiction. And I think there are comedic threads to this entire story. Like the idea of Ipe flying home in coach, like to me, that's a little funny, right? But there are components of this story that are heavy and sad and like devastating depending on what is and what is not true. And I think that there are probably people listening to this that have had gambling addiction touch their lives in one way or another. And I just want to give it the kind of level of reverence that that deserves. And maybe people are listening to this and like, wow, Jake and Jordan are a lot more serious about this story than I thought they'd be. Like, yes and no. I think maybe in time, like I tweeted jokes about it. And like, I think that there, like I said, there are aspects of it that are funny, that are interesting, but sure, there are also aspects of this that are incredibly serious. So we're going to do our best to kind of thread that needle a little bit.
It's hard. And I guess the last thing I'll say, and then we can start getting into the timeline. Like, yeah, like as far as scandals go, like, I mean, we've had already recently, maybe not as much in baseball, but we have had at least some hints of that, you know, gambling related scandals where it is very easy to just be like, oh my God, like how stupid can you be? Like you got suspended, like this happened in football, right? Guys getting suspended for however many games because they bet while they were in the locker room or whatever. Like, dude, there's variations.
The Brad Bohannon, University of Alabama baseball betting scandal where he was just like the dumbest move ever. That's just 100% jokes for me. Yeah. Just because this is connected to someone who is the sport right now, and because it exemplifies or may exemplify like the breaking down of trust and friendship and all these other things that go into it, we'll just put a little bit more seriousness on it. Let's dive in. Okay. First things first. What the actual hell? Okay. When this
because again,
when you landed,
yeah,
you must have been quite confused, dog.
Yeah. I mean, the first text I see is from my brother and it just says Ipe no in all caps. Like, what could that possibly mean? I mean, I'm like getting like worried because then I'm fluctuating between like, what could this possibly be? And then as I'm starting to see these things, it's just like, oh my gosh, because remember the larger context here, it's not just that Ohtani is the most important baseball player we have. It is that this relationship, this Ipe and Shohei relationship has become a huge part of the Shohei story combined with the secrecy and privacy of Shohei's life, right? And the fact that over the last few months, before he became a Dodger and after he became a Dodger, we have started to see closer glimpses of what Shohei Ohtani is actually like as a person. We've started to actually have him open up to the world in some ways. And so when you combine all those factors on top of the timing of they are in Korea and he is, you know, opening his Dodgers tenure in this unusual place in the middle of the night in Los Angeles and all of these things, like all of it combined is why it was so difficult to truly start to process as we start reading through the ESPN report.
Okay. The timeline of events. We are going to leave things out. We are going to overlook things. There are so many layers and levels. This deserves a whole like serial style podcast investigation.
Which sure this might not be that. Someday.
One day.
We might get but that someday. Won't if be we from mess us, anything that's
up,
for sure.
If we mess anything up, we are sorry. Timeline. ESPN and the LA Times both seem to be in varying stages of investigations into this story, revolving around wire transfers from Shohei Ohtani to a bookie who is under investigation. That bookie's name, I believe, is Matthew we're going to say Bowyer, B-O-W-Y-E-R, Matthew Bowyer, okay? When you see that Ohtani is paying a bookie money, that probably raised
a lot of money.
A lot of money that raised some flags, okay? So as this story is being investigated and maybe coming out, Ohtani's camp offered Ipe up to ESPN for a lengthy interview to tell Ipe's side of the story.
This bookie being under federal investigation seems to have been what, since January, for illegal bookmaking, because in California, Matthew Boyer is an Orange County resident. In California, unlike most of the rest of the country, gambling is still more illegal. It is a much more complicated endeavor than it is in other places. And because he was facilitating illegal gambling, and in this case was receiving money from an account that belonged to Shohei Ohtani, that is clearly what has tipped off the situation. And at some point along the way, ESPN and the LA Times realized that Ipe is the one involved. And so when they contact Ohtani or Ipe, Ohtani's people say, okay, Ipe will tell his side of the story.
Yes. So Ipe sits down with ESPN in Korea, it seems.
On Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. On Tuesday. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the story, that was a 90-minute interview, which, boy, that's a long time. But the story seems to have been, Ipe's story to ESPN, is that Ohtani had transferred money to an associate of Matthew Boyer in order to pay off Ipe's debts, which implies that Ohtani knew. Ohtani did not send the money to Ipe to then be sent to Boyer, according to Ipe, because Ohtani did not trust Ipe not to gamble the money. That is what Ipe told ESPN on Tuesday. Then, right before ESPN, I imagine, was set to publish, the Ohtani spokesperson that offered Ipe up disavowed Ipe's statement and then issued the following statement. In the course, quote, in the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to authorities. The story then changed. On Wednesday, Ipe then tells ESPN that Shohei did not know about the payment from Shohei to Matthew Boyer. So what we can deduce from all of that is that Ipe lied or misled ESPN at least once, because mm-hmm. his account on Wednesday directly contradicts his account on Tuesday. That is mm-hmm. unavoidable. Okay. That is the timeline. Then the Dodgers fire Ipe. He is not in the dugout for Thursday's game against the Padres. Ohtani does not speak to reporters before or after the game. Fabian Ardaya of The Athletic reported that neither Ohtani nor Ipe are under MLB investigation as of right now, which I think is notable. And we'll get into why in a bit. And here we are Thursday afternoon or Thursday morning U.S. time, and that's where things stand. Now, there's a million layers and levels to it. One other thing that I think we should hop into now is, like, what do we know? What are some important, just factual details from this, okay? You mentioned this. Sports betting is illegal in California in the way that it is illegal in a lot of states where you can just hop on your phone and put money on stuff. I think you can gamble on sports at casinos at various locations in California, but you can't. It's not as accessible as it is, I believe, in 40 of the 50 states, okay? There were two $500,000 payments from Ohtani to an associate of the bookie set in September and October. ESPN reported that they had seen that information. Now, what is interesting to me here is that tells us that Ohtani sent $1 million to pay off some of Ipe's debts. But there's also reporting that Ipe was $4.5 million down to this bookie, which leaves a $3.5 million gap that is one of the, you know, remaining mysteries of this entire story.
Mm-hmm. And I would say too that the shocking part when you are reading through this ESPN story is the changing of the stories, the whiplash of the account that is very detailed that Ipe gives on Tuesday, which when you read that, I read that for the first time and I say, I believe this. We'll get to the end about what we actually believe, right? When I first read Ipe's account, when he says, I am a gambling addict, this got really bad, I asked him to bail me out and he bailed me out and he paid because instead of giving me money, he wanted to do it directly because he didn't trust me. Like, all of that was a believable story to me. It's a troubling story for many reasons, but just at face value, the story that he says on Tuesday, which has way more detail than on Wednesday when he suddenly says, never mind, he had nothing to do with it. He has no idea. He never paid anybody. To me, what happened on Wednesday, here's another really important element of this in the ESPN story, which I feel like needs to be pointed out, especially when you consider who set the first interview up, right? The fact that Ohtani's people set up the Ipe interview is already fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Because Ipe, sure, he's Shohei's best friend. He's his own person. But when you go to the end of this story, when Ipe is retaking back everything that he said on Tuesday, I thought this excerpt was fascinating. Mizuhara, this is from the ESPN story. Mizuhara, though on Wednesday afternoon, walked back much of what he said. Late Tuesday, stated that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling activities, debts, or efforts to repay them. Obviously, this is my fault, everything I've done. I'm ready to face all the consequences. And then it says, Mizuhara said he did not have legal representation, but was working on it. He said he spoke with ESPN on Wednesday afternoon on his own. He reiterated, though, that he had never bet on baseball. We're going to get to the bet on baseball thing in a second. But this part, I think, is very important. Because what this looks like to me is Ipe fully panicking and or being told, like, you screwed up, dude, in a way that, like, is going to implicate Shohei in some sort of illegal activity, regardless of who was gambling. And he's like, oh, no, I have to go tell them that he had nothing to do with it. But, like, the cat's out of the bag. The investigation already has that he had paid underway. And so, to me, him trying to recount it is just, like, a Hail Mary pointless effort from what I'm reading.
Yeah. It feels to me that Ipe on Tuesday morning was in the group chat and by Wednesday evening was no longer in the group chat. But it feels to me like on Tuesday, Ipe's representation would have just been within Ohtani land and that he needs to, quote, like, maybe I should find a lawyer. Like, it feels like he's no longer being protected by the enormous apparatus that involves Shohei Ohtani, right? After he gave the ESPN interview. Again, we're going to learn a lot more about this as time goes on. I want to now pivot a little bit to the major questions that are going to shape this story as it progresses. And number one, we touched on this a bit, is why did Ipe's story change? Okay. Was it to protect himself? Was it to protect Ohtani? How do Ohtani's people allow Ipe to go out there and tell one story and then tell another story the next day?
Not just allow, like, here, please talk to him. Like, it seemed like that was part of plan A. And so this gets to, I don't know if this is on our list of questions. This is, I guess it's part of why it changed. What did Ohtani's group learn from when they, on Tuesday, they decided to tell Ipe, go talk to ESPN, to the statement from his lawyers that come by the end of the day, which is, Ohtani is a victim of theft, and then not clarifying what that actually means, right?
Yeah.
Because in the statement from them, they say, like, after, by responding and looking into the media inquiries surrounding the support, we have found that he has been a victim of theft.
Correct.
So what did they actually find? Or are they just changing their story? That's two of similar things. That's another big question that I have.
I don't want to tap too much into speculation yet, but friend of the show, Foolish Baseball, Bailey Freeman, made a good point on Twitter that, like, one possible explanation here is that Ohtani paid off $1 million of Ipe's debt, but, like, Ipe pocketed, or, like, Ohtani paid Ipe money that Ipe then pocketed and didn't use to pay back the debt, or took more money than Ohtani knew in order to pay back the debt. That, to me, I think, is where both things can be true at the same time, right? Ohtani maybe, allegedly, was aware of this, but was also the victim of a theft because there was more money going into Ipe's pocket than maybe Ohtani knew. That would explain some of this. Is that true? Again, we don't know yet. But it does go to our next question, is what did Shohei know and when, right? I think Ohtani must have known something. Because
the idea,
I think it is just so unhinged that Ohtani's representation and through Ipe, I guess, on Wednesday, said that Ohtani had no knowledge of this. That's impossible to me.
But again, that's why I don't know if we know that they wanted Ipe to say that on Wednesday, because he said, I'm with the ESPN. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But to your point still, like, this goes back to zooming in on the fact that they're, you know, hanging out in the dugout during Wednesday's game, right? And it's just like, this goes back to what they could have discovered between when the reports start coming out to when the lawyers say he's a victim of theft. Did Ohtani learn something in that time too, right? That is, I think, what is interesting, because it's possible that, right, Ohtani did know, yep, I had paid off his gambling debts and hopefully I was hoping no one would find out. But then, oh, I found out, to your point, it was actually worse. There was stuff happening that I didn't know. But the idea that the idea that Ipe's statement saying he knew nothing about any of this, I just don't believe it at all.
I don't believe it at all, but there's also a reason that Ohtani's lawyers would have made that claim on Wednesday, okay? Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. I find it hard to believe that Ohtani's lawyers are bad lawyers, right? Maybe I'm giving too much credit here, but I am just skeptical that CAA, this enormous multinational company, is going to provide mediocre representation to the most important athlete they represent, right?
Yes.
Like, there is a reason that, legally speaking, maybe, that the lawyers switched up their strategy, right? And, like, maybe I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt there, but, like, I find it hard to believe that, do they think we're really that stupid? So there's another level to that I have to believe. Next question. Did Shohei Ohtani gamble? This, we have no proof of, right?
Yes.
This was obviously the topic of a ton of speculation and jokes on the internet yesterday, that Ohtani was the one with the problem and that Ipe is the fall guy, right? I am going to choose right now to not believe that until I see evidence otherwise. Maybe I am a naive, optimistic person, and I don't want to believe that the face of our sport gambled money, right, in this fashion, on an illegal book. But I just, based upon the facts we have now, I don't think Ohtani was gambling. It's certainly a possibility, right? And it's certainly a question worth asking. But I think jumping to that conclusion immediately is somewhat irresponsible.
Yeah, because throughout the reporting so far, and this is why it is so problematic to have the stories changing this quickly, because that is what is inviting further concern that there's something amiss. Because correct, all the reporting in the ESPN story from everybody, from the Ipe the first time and the second, whatever, is that, like, Shohei does not gamble. The investigative reporting involved the people who actually were, you know, investigating, you know, Matthew Boyer and Ipe to begin with. There was no reason to believe that Shohei was the one gambling, right? But again, when you suddenly have this amount of conflicting information, right, and because, unfortunately, there are a lot of people, and listen, the levels of paranoia here, I mean, this speaks to a lot of it's both totally understandable and frustrating to witness, I think, right?
It's maybe American, we are being naive, society,
and that's fine, but it is, but that by the way, also, again, like, that's why, guess what? Even if Ipe is telling 100% the truth on Tuesday, well, guess what? You're the best friend of the most important baseball player we have. That's, you're going to end up bringing some unfortunate questions to him.
American society loves a tinfoil hat. We do. People want to believe that there are more levels at play because there are so many stories where there are more levels at play. And so the tinfoil hat wearing does make sense. And I'm not blaming people for believing that maybe there's something more afoot. I just think, like, at least for you and me, where we're at right now, like, I am not going to say that Ohtani was in on it. Next question, though. Was there gambling on baseball? This is so important because if Ipe or Shohei, even if Shohei was gambling, if these dudes were losing like 4.5 mil on the University of, you know, whatever the hell, to cover the spread in a college basketball game in December, like, that has no bearing on the integrity of professional baseball, right? So many professional athletes gamble on sports that they do not play in all the time. And if Ohtani was gambling or Ipe was gambling on this in a different state where it was legal, this wouldn't matter. It would just be like, wow, Ipe really sucks at gambling, right? But because it was through an illegal bookie, that's where the law, the legal aspect of it gets involved. But if they did, if there was gambling on baseball, that's where MLB needs to get involved. And I think it's interesting that there's no open investigation now. Maybe tells me that MLB knows that there was no gambling on baseball, or they're just sweeping all this under the rug so that we can keep the status quo rolling.
So in the ESPN report, this is just an excerpt just to kind of get out what was at least claimed about what was being bet on. Mizuhara told ESPN on Tuesday his bets were placed on international soccer, the NBA, the NFL, and college football. I never bet on baseball, Mizuhara said. That's 100%. I knew that rule. We have a meeting about that in spring training. So, and then, oh, by the way, excerpt after this, just for clarifying, if people are like super unfamiliar with this world, MLB, and I actually found this interesting too. MLB players and employees are allowed to bet on sports other than baseball, but not with illegal bookmakers or offshore websites. The league rulebook states that bets placed with illegal bookmakers are subject to punishment at the commissioner's discretion. So again, right, that's an example where if Shohei was, you know, putting 20 grand on, you know, the women's Polish national team to win a game against, you know, the Czech Republic or whatever, that's, but if he did it illegally through whoever, like, that could be subject to punishment because illegal, you know. But I just wanted to excerpt that part because I think that is important too.
Next question is, where is Nesbolelo in all this? Because Nesbolelo, Otani's agent, was by his side at like every twist and turn throughout the free agency aspect and has been incredibly private about this so far and was not really even referenced in the ESPN report, I don't believe.
Not at all.
And Nez is in Korea at these games, and he was asked for comment, I believe. I saw this in the Athletic story, and he declined to comment on it. So I just think that Nez has been behind so much, or we've been led to believe that Nez has been behind so much of Ohtani world stuff, that I'm fascinated kind of where he fits into all of this.
Yeah, because he too has been with Shohei, you know, since the beginning, right? So at least since the beginning of his major league career. So that's someone that I would say that the last, before we get to our last question, we'll take a quick break, is, you know, you think about what did the Dodgers know, right? Like, how blindsided were the Dodgers by this whole thing? And to me, you know, and let alone Nez, right? Well, Nez had to have known that some amount of this was going on to some degree, even if he like, but maybe not, right? We don't know. And that gets back to the overall theme and fascinating element that we will continue to learn more about or not, which is the level of secrecy and privacy and this relationship between Ipe and Shohei that we have known so much about and so little about at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
The last question I guess I'd ask is what happens now? I mean, we don't know. We really just don't know.
I was just going to say, like, it's possible by the time you're listening to this, there's another update. I don't know what that could be. You know, the Dodgers are now going to go fly home. So obviously opening day is a week from today. They go back and are supposed to play, an exhibition game, I believe, on Sunday Sunday against the Angels, funny enough. It's not like Shohei's not going to be in a clubhouse again for at least another few days, right? Not that we think PR is suddenly going to let him talk about it.
Oh, he's not talking. He's not talking about this.
But it's
They asked Dave Roberts about it and he said, I'm not going to comment on it. Like, they asked Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations for the Dodgers, had a hilarious comment on this. Did you see this?
No, I didn't see that.
He said, quote, there's nothing to say, literally nothing to say. I mean, there is a lot to say.
Said a lot for 29 minutes and we'll continue.
There's certainly something to say. So Friedman saying there's nothing to say, I understand what he's saying, that like he's not going to comment, but it's just
there's nothing I can or should say.
Or
which
will
is
say.
Definitely correct.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, again, though, it's just like, that's the other thing. My last big question. Will this, of course it will matter to Ohtani in some way, but I mean, now it's like, not that the attention wasn't already on him. Not that I think, though, the Dodgers are going to miss the playoffs now. But it is like kind of wild that this is now going to kind of be something that all these, you know, the Dodgers, all the Dodgers players were already getting used to being asked a million Ohtani questions. Yikes. Now that will continue for different reasons.
But it is the biggest story in baseball until it is not.
Yep.
It is. And no matter what happens now, that Ohtani's name is in any way associated with gambling is a link and a connection that will not easily be undone.
Agreed.
Because many people, the majority of people, will not be able to unintertwine those two things. They will always have that association in their head. Even if Shohei is like deemed completely innocent, there will always be jokes. There will always be speculation. There will always be doubt. And that is unfortunate and why this is such a big bummer, because if Ohtani didn't do anything morally wrong, more on that after the break, and has to wear this forever because Ipe made mistakes, that sucks. That sucks so hard. Okay, let's take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about the ladder of morality and what actually happened.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbercast. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman talking Ohtani, Ipe, and the gambling scandal that is very much in progress. We need a sexy name for this, though, I have to say, so that, like, Ipe Gate, maybe? We need a one-word thing for this.
Yeah, so we'll, if someone we'll can come it. Up with I that. I mean, it hasn't even been 24 hours, so I'm still, there's much more to be learned. But I think that the last kind of chunk we wanted to hit on this is some level of speculation, but also just kind of talking through the possibilities here. This is sort of like what happens next, but really it's with the information that we have right now, there are various levels of what has actually occurred. Now, it's possible what the scenarios we're going to go through, that there's something that we are not thinking of, right? We are still at very early stages of this. There could be more people getting involved. Like, maybe there's something we're completely missing. Extremely possible, okay? But from where sit now...
Probable.
But from where we sit now, there are some scenarios that we could envision having actually been the case. So go ahead.
We're going to go down the ladder of what actually happened. What I mean by that is, what is, in my mind, the best case scenario for this to
That was like my first thought yesterday after I read everything. I was like, well, how do we get through this without feeling the worst? Like, how do we get through this by feeling as not crappy as possible?
My ranking here, this is just how I feel, okay? And I think that it could be different for different people. But my mind, the best case scenario is that Ipe was gambling on non-baseball and Shohei knowingly wired the money to pay off his friend's gambling debts. Now, the reason that I believe this is better than what I'm going to call level two, which is Ohtani was totally oblivious to it, is that if Ohtani was totally oblivious to it and one of his, if not best friend in the world, stole $4.5 million from him behind his back and betrayed him, that is so freaking sad. The sadness of that being the truth, to me, is a worse outcome than Ohtani doing something that he thought was morally correct, though maybe legally suspect. Yes. That's just where I'm at. Okay. Right. I think those two, though, in my mind, are level one and level two.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. And to be clear, right, if that sounds familiar, that is essentially the story that Ipe told on Tuesday. What we just described, we are hoping that what he told on Tuesday was accurate in the sense that he didn't know that it was illegal to make bets like that in California, that Shohei probably didn't know. And because if Ipe goes to Shohei and says, dude, I'm in the hole, however many hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, I need your help, Shohei's like, I got you, bro. I'm making, you know, I've got the infinite money glitch, so sure, no problem. I can help you out. Shohei, and in this scenario, Shohei doesn't gamble, so he doesn't know or what is legal or what is it. He just knows his friend needs some money. His best friend needs some money that he has. And so they do that, right? Again, still messy and still, based on the investigation, illegal gambling and thus problematic. However, from a how we feel about Shohei and Ipe, that is, I agree, level one in a positive way.
Yeah, the best case scenario is Shohei didn't know he was a crime, was doing his buddy a favor. Like another macro way to think about it is either one, Ohtani is a dunce, right? And aloof.
Seems two, unlikely, right?
I think there's an aspect of that. Or like a dunce, aloof, or ill-informed, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a possibility. Two is that he is like a good friend, that his buddy was down and needed help, and he helped him out. That's a possibility too. Three is that he's just in on the whole thing, right? Like that's another possibility.
Well, now we're moving ahead. We're going.
I know. I'm just saying like, down. But those three things, like one of those has to be true or like aspects of those have to be true. He either is uninformed, was doing something he thought was nice or good, or was in on it the whole time. Those are the options. Okay. So again, let me just review. Level one, Ipe was gambling on non-baseball. Shohei wired him the money to pay off the debts. I don't really care about these. Sports betting is legal in so many places. The crime is more about like state taxes than anything about integrity. Even if Ohtani is found legally guilty, okay, for knowingly wiring money to an illegal bookie and has to pay a fine, it does not change the way that I think about him as a person, in my opinion.
Okay.
Level two, like I said, Ohtani had no idea what was going on. Ipe did all this behind his back. This is such a freaking bummer. And I am skeptical that this is the truth because the story changed to this 3 minutes ago. So whatever. Next level. Level three. Ohtani was the one gambling, but it was all not baseball. And Ipe was the financial go-between and now the fall guy.
And
this is obviously bad. Obviously bad.
In this scenario, what happened was they find that Shohei, wired money. And the only way to explain that, because it is Ohtani's account, is that Ipe has a gambling problem. And he gets to come out and say, it was all me. Shohei doesn't gamble. And because obviously it was all me, because I'm with him, it is believable that the story that he told on Tuesday is what happened when actually, to your point, Ohtani is the one gambling on, Polish women's soccer.
Correct. However, if Ohtani lived in New Jersey and had lost $4.5 million through interchangeable gambling site, this would not be a problem. He would just be bad at gambling.
It would be embarrassing.
It would be super embarrassing.
And the jokes, then we probably would be making a lot of jokes.
That's like a Michael Jordan type.
Yeah.
You can make jokes about MJ being crappy at gambling, right? Now, that's why I don't. This would be bad because he's throwing his best friend under the bus so that he can get out of it. That's why that would be morally suspect. But the gambling itself, if Ohtani has a gambling problem that is not related to baseball, I think that's more sad than like angering.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Again, like now, to be clear, right? Like as we said at the top, like gambling addiction is a serious issue. And if that was something that he had been suffering with quietly for a long time, like that part is not a joke, but in the sense that it is not having this scandal of lies and complete kind of misdirection and this breaking of this relationship and all these things, that would not be in play.
I want to be very clear about something. This is the point I believe the strongest that Ohtani was not gambling. Okay. I think he would have been more in the red than 4.5 million because boy, he has so much cash to burn. But more importantly, deferring $68 million a year is not something somebody who is a compulsive gambler with 4.5 million of gambling debts would do, right? If Shohei Ohtani was really in trouble and had that much gambling debt, do we really think he would be deferring that much money? Now, you could say, yes, there's all the sponsorship money coming in and he's going to be okay financially, whatever. To me, that is behavior that does not line up with someone who is willy-nilly with their finances. Sure. Maybe that's speculation.
I don't feel as strongly about that, but sure.
The idea of a unhinged compulsive gambler being like, yeah, you could just pay me $68 million later, just is doesn't add up in my brain. I'm sorry.
Sure. Let's then go to the next, where now we are in, like, this is getting real bad.
This is the line of integrity here. You could argue that it's above the last category because Shohei throwing Ipe under the bus to fall on the sword is really bad. But if we're talking about the sport of baseball, this is the line. Level four, Ipe was gambling on baseball and Ohtani knew about it. This is bad because Ipe obviously has an outrageous amount of inside information being in the clubhouse and around Ohtani. This is super against the rules. Ipe said this was against the rules when asked about it. We have the meeting in spring training, you know. However, I think it's totally legitimate to just not believe that aspect of the story from Ipe, because gambling addicts lie and change the goalposts. And what is acceptable to them, to any addict, can change very quickly. So I think Ipe gambling on baseball is certainly a possibility. Obviously, we don't have enough information to believe it one way or the other right now, but I do think that it is something that is on the table and would be very bad for the league and the sport if Ipe was putting money on baseball games.
Yeah. Which brings us to our last level, which is the obvious one that people are jumping to way too fast, which is, of course, Ohtani betting on baseball in any way, any fashion, in any degree. And whether he was using Ipe or not, obviously Ipe is clearly involved. It's not like Ipe is not involved. That's the whole reason we're here, because that's what this investigation initially uncovered and led to them asking to interview him. I mean, yeah, it would be, I don't even know how to process what would happen next. So I don't really want to talk about it further, because it's just like that is literally would change so many things about so many things that it's like its own 50 podcasts and we would be so, but that's, yeah. That's unfortunately, I guess it is on the table, even if neither of us believe that is the case.
Can you imagine if Shohei was gambling on baseball, gambling on games that he was involved in, and was purposefully throwing games or dampening down his own performance in order to win gambling money? And how good he would be if like the idea that Shohei was holding something back to make money gambling is like, what is he, like a 250 OPS plus hitter,
right? You know, right, he was really, you know, sandbagging it with more, you know, he's swinging really hard and looking really goofy and his helmet falls off. No, okay, all right. Yeah, no more jokes here. The point is that is what obviously worst case scenario, horrible. I can't even relate to the people that want to jump to that conclusion already at all. That's just very strange to me. But, and again, based on the reporting, right, what we have so far does not lead me to that. The reason why we are in this mess is because the stories changed very quickly. That is if we just got the thing on Tuesday and Ipe got fired, that would have been unfortunate. And we would have talked about it for a couple of days and we would have moved on. That is not what is happening here. And that is why we will unfortunately probably be talking about this again in the near future.
However, my takeaway, Jordan, and I always say this, enita non sunt multiplicanda praeter necessitatem, you know?
Mm. Oh, that's, I say that every morning. But I mean, I know what that means, obviously. So you why don't you educate everybody?
Entities must not be multiplied beyond necessity. This is the essence of Occam's razor. The idea that the simplest explanation is more often than not the correct one. And that is why I believe right now, with the lack of information we have, that Ohtani was not gambling on baseball, that Ipe was not gambling on baseball, that Ohtani helped Ipe out by paying gambling debts because he loves him and is his friend. And Ohtani did not knowingly, like, commit crimes. That's where I'm at right now. And that the story changed because once they realized that if Ohtani had directly made this payment, he was legally in gray water. That's not the word. In hot water, gray area. that's bad. But I'm just going to Occam's razor this until I'm not anymore. Call me a dunce. Call me naive. But that's where I'm at. Two other quick points before we pack it up. Do you have anything that you want to say before I
Well, no, I'm with you, and we'll see how long this, you know, podcast holds up, you know, in terms of how fast we're going to get new information. But I'm glad we got on here and addressed it. But go ahead, two more quick notes, and then we'll talk about 15 to 11 for 30 seconds.
Actually, three things. One, the stuff about Ohtani's opt-out clause was lazy and irresponsible on the internet yesterday. The stuff about how if Mark Walter, the Dodgers head honcho, or Andrew Friedman leave, Ohtani can leave, right? People were speculating that that included Ipe for a couple hours, and it was like, oh, Ohtani's going to leave the Dodgers and go play for a different team. That was silly. That was stupid. Just, I'm glad that that kind of got cleared up. Next thing, stop, for the love of God, stop making this about Pete Rose. Please. Pete Rose is a bad person, okay, who did many bad things beyond anything related to gambling. MLB's embrace of the world of gambling is a concern. Sports as a whole, their embrace of gambling is a concern. But that does not make Pete Rose a hero, okay? Pete Rose is not the hero here, no matter how this plays out. So just keep his name out of your mouth. We can evaluate and discuss and talk about this whole story without dragging Pete Rose's sorry ass into it. And the last thing is, the embrace of gambling is uncomfortable. And like, we fit into this in a complicated way as people in the media, right? Gambling, there's a lot of money in sports gambling. There is, okay? And yeah, I don't know if you know about that. There are many podcasts that are brought to you by sports media, sports gambling company, insert here. And like, part of that is because money makes the world go round, and like, media people need to make a living. And I don't want to say that like, we're better than this because we've never been brought to you by a gambling company. And it's very complicated, but stories like this happening are a relatively logical, you know, endpoint of gambling being more accessible and acceptable to and shoved down our throats as sports fans. And if the reporting is true, like, I don't blame any, I mean, I guess I do blame them. They should know better, but like, you can understand how Shohei or Ipe would be like, yeah, gambling, it's around all the time. Like, it's just like going on sportsbook.com. And so that part of it makes me feel icky, and I'm not really sure how to wrangle that in my head.
That's fair. No, I mean, that's, again, like, we're still in the early stages, not just of the story, but just like of that reality of our existence in this media space. So unfortunately, you know, it won't be the first or won't be the last. We'll have more stories like this. And we just have to hope that they don't always involve the most important people in our sport. Let's finish with a couple minutes on the Padres evening the Seoul series 1-1, 15-11. I filed a couple thoughts from these first two games at Yahoo, which you can read today. But to me, it was the contrast of the first two games, where we had 13 pitchers combined to allow zero extra base hits in the first game. And then that is not what happened in the second game. And even though, even with, you know, a combined 30 plus hits, 40 plus hits, whatever, and 15-11, we finally get some home runs, like, there were some balls that were crushed that were still not going out. I think the score could have been even higher if the ball was carrying in the Gochuk Sky Dome. But obviously, the main thing, Yamamoto was horrible. His command sucked. His splitter was terrible. And he was just bad. I'm not worried, but like, I do wonder how much leash there's going to be before people start, like, you know, making actual, you know, concern, skepticism takes. I think the circumstances of these games, as demonstrated by all the other pitchers also looking like crap, and the defense and the base running and the strike throwing and the catching, like, this was not good baseball. It was entertaining in some ways, but that's kind of what we ended up with. I'm glad they did it. MLB should keep doing it. Send MLB all over the place. I don't want that to change at all. But this was not the most beautiful baseball game.
Yeah, copy pasting ball and bringing it to other countries. Like, we've seen a lot of slop fests around the world, and that's understandable because it's just so abnormal from what these players are used to from an environment standpoint that when we bring them to West Ham's stadium in London and it's 21 win by two, like, we can't be too shocked about that. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. These games are not for us. And by us, I mean American baseball fans. And that's okay. The idea that, okay, here's the thing. People being like, wow, Otani's debut being at 3 a.m. in L.A. is horrible for the game. Do you know what was accessible about this? Was all of Japan got to watch this on regular time. Okay? That's not a problem.
No. And obviously these games were scheduled before.
Even before.
We knew that Ha-Sung Kim wasn't going to be traded, or we knew that Otani was definitely going to sign with the Dodgers, or Yamamoto signed with the Dodgers, right? Like, it worked out that way in that respect. But I agree with you. Like, whatever. We can all relax. Yeah. It's fine. But it is fine.
So. Just quickly on Yamamoto, let's wait. I think I'm not too concerned. Dudes have bad starts. He clearly looked uncomfortable and had jitters up the wazoo.
I kind of couldn't believe they let him throw 43 pitches.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, I mean, obviously it's a tough spot for Dave Roberts. I get that. But I was like, man, like, we really let him throw the 40 pitch inning? And then, which he's probably like, there's a chance that's the most pitches he's ever thrown an inning in his life. Honestly, right? Yeah. Extremely possible.
But it is a good reminder that giving anybody $325 million who's never played Major League Baseball is a risk. Even though we have more information about Yamamoto than we've ever had about a pitcher like him coming over from a data technology standpoint, there's still risk built into this, and that is important to remember. Michael Lorenzen signed with the Texas Rangers. All right, we will be back tomorrow with a preview of the American League Central, which will have a much different tone than this bizarre, bizarre episode we've given you today. Thank you to Andrew Hartz for producing. You can email us at baseballbarbacast@gmail.com. Jordan, anything?
We'll see if we have more news on this tomorrow, but I'm excited to talk about Tarek Skubal and Cole Reagans. So talk to you tomorrow. Yeah. Any last thing?
Yeah. I love you, man. Like, you know, friendship is a beautiful thing. And I think that this Otani story is sad on a human level, no matter how it went down. And reflecting on how money changes people and how having your financial future tied to someone that you really care about made me think about how fortunate and lucky I feel that you and I have, obviously on a much different level, to be very clear.
And smaller financial scale.
Very small, much smaller scale. Just that you and I have never had a problem.
Yeah.
It is kind of dope. And like, I love you, man.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Likewise. Thanks for the place to crash. And we'll be back tomorrow, Friday, AL Central. Get hype. Thanks for listening. See you back.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.